Hi guys, and welcome to the third episode of Trust in the Process with myself, Deborah Chosen. Today the date is the 5th of June 2018, which means that yes, your girl is recording her birthday edition episode. Come out, come through birthday. It's actually my 27th birthday today, which is absolutely bizarre to me. But here we are. God has been faithful, God has been kind, God has been good. And so I kind of had the idea to record a birthday podcast a few weeks ago, I think it was. And then in my head, it just wasn't feasible. It wasn't possible. And it was a bit strange. I was like, who does that? And then I thought, you know what birthdays should be about? They should be about doing the things that make you happy. And this for me is a happy place, as you guys know. And so I thought it'd be really, really cool to kind of just reflect on the past year. And go through kind of what 26 has taught me. It's crazy because I've just turned 27, but honestly, guys, I literally feel like I've been 27 for the past year. So I actually feel like I've turned 28. It's very strange. I always feel a year older than what I am because majority of my friends are older than me. And so when I celebrate their birthdays, it's like I'm celebrating mine. It's very weird and twisted, but it makes sense to me. Nonetheless, this is my 27th birthday, and so we're going to do this podcast on what 26 has taught me. Hopefully you guys can kind of relate, maybe learn a little bit more about me through the process. But yes, let's jump right into it. So I think one of the first things that 26 taught me is that I like me. So I like who I am. I actually like me. For some people that might sound so... it might sound like it's not necessarily significant. It might sound actually pompous to some people. But if you've been through a journey of learning to love yourself, of learning to like yourself, like to truly like yourself, then it will probably resonate with you. I think for myself, learning to like myself has come from spending more and more time with myself. Looking back, 26 definitely had its lonely moments. Definitely had a lot of moments in solitude, sometimes intentionally, other times unintentionally. Were there moments when I desired to be in the company of others and it wasn't present? Yes. But at the same time, there were moments where I intentionally sought out space, sought out being by myself, being alone, so that I could really be in my thoughts in a positive way and be with myself. So an example of that was traveling solo last year. Where did your girl go? Where did I go? I went to Barcelona. That was an interesting trip, full stop. Anyways, I'll probably share the full story one day. But what I will say is that I traveled to Barcelona knowing that there was some stuff that I was dealing with that I definitely needed to be alone to deal with. There was some healing that needed to happen in terms of emotional hurt, like heart matters. And funny enough, the whole entire trip that I was by myself, it wasn't necessarily what I thought it would be. I thought that being by myself would feel really cool, but at times I felt lonely and I was like, what the heck? Like, I did this so that I could feel like empowered and, you know, so I could enjoy my company. Why is it that I'm finding that some days I'm not enjoying my company, that I would desire to be there with someone? And it wasn't until the last day on the trip, where I went for dinner at a place called Chiquitos. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Shout out to my friend Sarah, because it was actually her recommendation to go there. So I was having dinner at this restaurant, lovely place, lovely meal. I had a sangria on one side. I had like this omelette thing. That's a terrible way to refer to it, but I had this omelette thing on the other side. It was just a really nice meal. And I was listening to a podcast at the time, ironically, by a church called Ramp. And the podcast was basically talking about forgiving yourself, and it was talking about letting go of things. And there I was, knowing that what I really needed to do and should have really done, and I guess I was doing in a way, but part of the aim of this trip was to let go of some pain, to let go of some hurt, having been like hugely offended, and in a way rejected at the time. And so it was kind of in that moment where something just shifted. I just understood that I was free. It was weird. I wish I could explain it, but yeah, I understood that I was free. And at the time, so the person that, I guess had a fallout with, We hadn't spoken for a long time. But in that moment, I just felt it was necessary to message them and to basically apologize. And it was a really strange space to be in because I was apologizing, but even the other person involved would kind of rightly say that there was nothing I really needed to apologize for. It was really them who had been in the wrong. But the way that I was free allowed me to basically apologize to them for anything that I may have done. And as I reached out, as I apologized, as I basically said that, you know what, I'm at a space where I don't necessarily require an apology anymore because I've forgiven myself and like I've let go of this thing. That person then apologized and in a really heartfelt, moving way. And I never expected it. And it was strange because I finally received an apology, but I didn't necessarily need it anymore. And to be at a place where I realized that I didn't need it, that I had done the work, was so awesome for me and was such a turning point in terms of learning myself and liking who I'm becoming. And so that was definitely significant for me. And so liking yourself, for me, it's hard to say that you like yourself. It's hard to say that you love yourself if you refuse to spend time alone with yourself. It might be awkward at times and it might feel lonely at times, but it's about journeying from that place, from loneliness feeling like loneliness and from solitude being a necessary thing, for solitude being a safe place. In a similar vein, one of the things that 26 definitely taught me was how to learn to let go of things and people. All right, so I am by no stretch of the imagination a hoarder. I'm actually anti-hoarder. Like, I throw things away on a regular because I hate having too much of anything, really. However, so those of you maybe that know me well will know that last year, I traveled to the US, specifically Maryland, New York, and DC. And I was in the US with my family, and I was there to celebrate my auntie's 50th birthday. So, you know, super excited. Like, this is a turn up kind of trip. I'm here for like 2 weeks. I haven't seen the US in a while. I'm excited, you know? And of course, I'd bought a few outfits, as we girls do, because I was ready to slay. I was finna slay on the gram and in reality. And, to my surprise, I arrive in DC to find that the airline, who I'm not going to name because I think I've put them on blast enough, and honestly, they don't even deserve this kind of recognition, but the airline had basically lost my suitcase. And they had not just lost like my hand luggage, they had lost the main luggage. So you can imagine like 24 kg worth or 23 kg worth of items they had lost. And for the next week, I was without any of these items. So for a whole week, with different events happening, I didn't have clothes, basically. I essentially didn't have clothes. I kind of just had the outfit I came in, which was like this black midi dress, which was not appropriate for everywhere. And I had like a few toiletries and luckily underwear, luckily. It must have been the Holy Spirit that spoke to me and told me to put that in there because luckily that was present. But it was difficult. It was difficult. And I think why it was hard is because I had to learn to not let the lack of things affect my being present. It came to a point that I didn't have a lot of things and it was really frustrating. But then I'd look to my left, I'd look to my right, and I think, I'm still in America. I'm still with family. I'm still with loved ones. Like, I'm still celebrating. I need to be present in this moment. These things need to not matter. Let it go. Let it go. And the old me, the more immature me, definitely would have kicked up a fuss or more of a fuss, would have maybe been in a mood about things. But I remember even my mom at the time saying that she was quite happy with how I was dealing with things, because it came to a point where, because it was clear that I wasn't going to get it back anytime soon, I had to learn to be comfortable with what I had. And also what was kind of powerful about that moment is I learned to value the things I had and to realize what's necessary and what's an extra. And part of my frustration was that I didn't have a lot of things I wanted to have. And I was about to turn 26 because it was my birthday out there. And can you imagine on the day of my birthday, so like a few minutes past 12, basically the clock, the clock turned. The doorbell rang, boom, there was my delivery of my luggage that I'd wanted so badly, literally arrived as like a birthday gift on my birthday. And it was amazing because by the time it arrived, again, there wasn't this insatiable need for the things in there. I realized that Like, there's more to life. Like, there's really more to life. And I think what was really significant for me was that having less things meant that I was more strategic with the things that I had. And in like manner, what this season and what 26 has taught me is that sometimes having less in terms of relationships, letting go of people that maybe are no longer serving you in a healthy way, it means that you learn to value who you do have. You learn to value you. You learn to count your blessings. By nature, I'm a kind of person that likes to see people happy. I would say that growing up, I definitely, maybe subconsciously or unknowingly, was a naturally kind of a people pleaser. I like for people to like me and to be happy. And so because of that nature, when I then moved into my adolescence and a few different people would maybe walk away. You know, I'd face kind of like a breakup or I'd have a friendship breakup. I found it really hard to let go of people. And what 26 taught me is that if people want to leave, let them. Believe me, like, allow them, because it just means that they were not necessary for that season. They were not necessary for where you needed to go. I remember making a post on Instagram, and it was talking about, in the scripture, it says that my God shall supply all of my needs. And I kind of came to a point where I realized, if there's something in my life that I don't have right now, could it be that it's just not a need for you right now? Could it be that you are self-sufficient without that? So when, you know, when one of my relationships broke down during a really, really hard season where I was battling a lot, I was unemployed for a year during that season. I was dealing with a lot of illness within my family. It was like the worst time to go through a breakup, basically. It was the worst time. But during that season, when that happened and that person chose to leave, I had to come to a place where I realized that if they're not here right now, it must be because I don't need them in this leg of my journey. And in a similar way, when I lost that luggage, as frustrating as it was, it meant that I traveled lighter. It meant that when I was going out, I had less decisions to make because I had less options. It wasn't, oh, am I going to wear the red shoes with you know, the red dress? It was, no, boo, you better wear them sandals that you came in because that's all you got. But it was learning to be at peace with that. And so I think learning to let go of people is definitely something that has been monumental for me, people and things. And it hasn't been an easy lesson, and I'm still working at it, but I'm grateful that that was something I was able to learn in 26. So I think one of the other key things that I've learned in the year of being 26 was the difference between needs and wants. If you guys follow me on Instagram, you'll know that I'm quite susceptible to having a little bit of a heart moment on Instagram stories where I'll just share kind of things on my mind. And recently, so last month, I shared a little bit about the difference between wants and needs and how I was navigating that. And I've come to a point where I've realized that because I've spent so much time with myself, because I've had good relationships, not so good relationships, I'm learning the difference between something that I need and something that I just want. So there was a time where maybe I thought that I needed a guy to be absolutely hilarious. I love laughing. I love humor. I love jokes. Like, I love banter. And whilst it is still important, past relationships have taught me that actually a need is this person emotionally intelligent? Is this person brave enough to love? Is this person emotionally mature? So what I'm finding about myself is that I'm in a space where I really, really, really know what I need. And I don't think I've ever known it as well as I know right now. And that's not in a boastful way. And that's not to say that I've arrived and that everything's working out because of that. No, actually, it makes me more selective with my relationships, with my job, with the space that I choose to live in. And an example of that is in my career. You know, what is a need for me right now is I need to be in a role that has good work-life balance. I need to be in a role that values me as a person. I need to be in a role that has flexibility because I've evolved as a person and you know, my 9-to-5 is definitely not just who I am. There's a lot of things that I do outside of work. And so it's been about learning what my needs are and gravitating towards those and not being afraid to let go of things which on the surface look good, but being able to be honest with myself and confront the fact that whilst this might look good on the surface, it doesn't align with me. And I think that's okay. And it's about knowing yourself well enough to acknowledge that and to comfortably walk away from a situation or a person that no longer serves you. So I spoke a little bit about things that I've been learning in my career and what I require from a job. And I mentioned that one of those things were having a positive work-life balance. Now, I'll take you guys back a little bit. In the month of, Lord, when did I go to Copenhagen? I want to say March. My friends who went with me will be listening and will probably correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure I went to Copenhagen in the month of March. You can check my Instagram story highlights because I've got a highlight dedicated to that. But I traveled to Copenhagen recently with three friends of mine, and it was amazing. It was a really nice trip. It was literally just kind of a weekend or a long weekend, but it was good and it was very necessary. Just before that trip, I experienced kind of the highest degree of burnout that I think I've ever experienced in my life. And up until that point, burnout was something I was familiar with, unfortunately. I've been familiar with the term and I've been familiar with the feeling of burnout. But up until that point, I did not understand how catastrophic working yourself to the bone can be. In that time, I was doing a lot and I was so stretched. Working overtime quite regularly. My company had been going through quite a heavy restructuring, and so we were quite understaffed, and so a lot of the weight of that work was falling on me. And so, yeah, during that time I was definitely working till like 10 p.m., 9 p.m., from 9 a.m. I would sometimes like rush from work to like choir rehearsal. There was a big event that my church choir were working on at the time, and I was, you know, I'd kindly been asked to sing a solo within, you know, this event. So it was one particular day where I had attended rehearsals and, you know, I'd sang my solo and nothing went right. It was as if my life was going wah, 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 like right before me as I was singing this solo. I opened my mouth to sing and it's like I didn't understand the words anymore, even though this is a song I'd been rehearsing for weeks. I didn't understand what I was doing. I didn't understand how to flow with the rhythm. I'm pretty sure I was probably off key. And obviously I probably was judging myself very harshly as well because I was so tired. So, you know, my harsh critic was probably being even worse. But at this point I was burnt out. And I thought that it was evident, but in hindsight it maybe wasn't. But one of the ways that it was playing out was in this really public way. You know, the whole choir were there, I was singing this line or these lines, and I felt like I was broken down on the inside. But on the outside, it probably just sounded like, oh, why is she so off? And lo and behold, so after that rehearsal, I remember I went and I spoke to one of the girls from the choir who is amazing. And I just told her, I'm tired. I think it started off with me saying I'm tired, but then it kind of ended up in me crying into her arms, sniffling like a child, and just repeatedly saying, I'm tired. I'm really tired. I have a lot on. I feel stretched. I feel stressed. I feel like I don't ever have a moment to myself. It's not necessarily what I was doing that had me stressed. It was the fact that I was doing too much. And I think what was difficult about that time is that these things I was doing were good things. And I'm such an opportunist, and I really believe in like maximizing your potential, but to the point that I sometimes find it hard to say no to good things, you know? So like, I was like, well, choir is a great thing. And, you know, running the social media for my church is a good thing. And, you know, building my brand is a good thing. And working hard at work is a good, these are good things. But at the end of the day, anything that costs you your peace and your mental strength is not a good thing. I had to learn in that process, firstly, how to recognize my wrongs, how to recognize that I've been doing too much, and ultimately that I'm responsible for that because I am the one that's giving people this time. I'm the one that's not exercising the power of no. So I cried, we prayed, and I went home. And so I was feeling a lot lighter. but maybe so light that I was really, really drowsy on the way home. Like I said, I'd been tired, okay? I'd been tired, but I was driving home. This was from South London back to West, and I just felt out of it. And there was a moment where I went to change lane, and it's like I saw a car there, but I didn't see a car there. So I was like, yeah, there's a light there, but like I wasn't there, you know? I wasn't present. So I went to go into this lane, and then, of course, this loud beep comes from nowhere. Obviously, this man is angry, okay? So there's this angry guy, and he's swearing at me, and he's shouting, and he's like, what are you doing? Like, why are you moving into the lane? And I was so weak and so tired, and I think that moment showed me the depth of my tiredness that I just broke down there and then. So I'd already cried, you know, at rehearsal, but this was like a... Have you ever cried the kind of cry where you have a headache afterwards, or the kind of cry where you're actually moaning? Like, I couldn't stop. It was uncontrollable. And don't worry, I wasn't actually driving at this point. I was in heavy traffic. Okay, so before any of you people want to get concerned about my safety or other people's safety, I was in heavy traffic, but I was crying. I was bawling. And it was like all the tiredness was just coming out of me. And it was after that moment, and after speaking to a few different people about that moment, that I decided I need to learn my limits. Whether something is good, whether it is a good opportunity, what is for me and will not pass me by. I believe that anyways. But what I need to prioritize is my rest. In that moment, I knew it, but in that moment, I really understood the importance of rest and the importance of not getting so caught up in this productivity mentality. I can have this ability to become consumed by how productive am I being, how purposeful am I being. And sometimes we place so much importance on busyness, whereas busyness doesn't necessarily mean that you're even making any movement. My pastor at my church recently, he's been speaking quite a bit on the difference between motion and movement. Motion is what busyness often looks like. It's running from A to B. It's going helter-skelter, as our Nigerian parents say. You know, it's being everywhere. It's thinking that you're making movements when the reality is you're staying in one place. It's like running on a treadmill. Whereas movement means that you're progressing. You're moving from one place to another place. And I think that oftentimes, especially as millennials, I kind of hate that word, but I'll say it nonetheless. I think especially as millennials, we place so much emphasis on busyness, and we believe that the busier we are, the more productive we must be. I absolutely hate the conversation around, you know, team no sleep, or I'll rest when I'm dead. Babes, you better rest now. You better rest now, because if you're not careful, you will dead before your time. Yes, I just use very incorrect English, but it's to make a point. You were dead before your time. By the way, the reason why I mentioned Copenhagen is because the day after the burnout, I was flying to Copenhagen. And so whilst I was in Copenhagen, a lot of people were like, oh my gosh, you're living your best life. Da-da-da-da-da. You're traveling again, because I'd gone to Morocco a few weeks before. But what people didn't recognize is I'd burnt out the day before. I was thinking, y'all, yeah, I might be smiling here in Copenhagen, but I'm smiling because I'm having a rest. I'm having a break. And it was a necessary break. You owe it to yourself to be responsible with your time, to be responsible with your yes. Like, I think Maileen Teal says something that, like, my yes is expensive. Okay, my yes is expensive. Yes, I will be there. Yes, I will do that. Yes, I will stay behind late. It's an expensive word, because when you're saying yes more times than not, what you're giving away is your time. And time, it's a beautiful thing to be able to give away your time to people and to things and to projects, but be responsible with your time. And I think it's about being brave enough to step away from something and understanding that just because you've stepped away from it doesn't mean that it won't return to you again, that opportunity can return, or that a better opportunity will not return, if it means prioritizing your peace. I think one of the most important things and the most powerful things that 26 has taught me has been to feel the fear and do it anyway. 26 has taught me that the presence of fear doesn't mean the absence of purpose. It doesn't mean the absence of God. It doesn't always have to mean a red flag. I think that throughout my life, if I fear something, and maybe that's just the way human nature is, if you fear something, you tend to want to retract, you tend to want to move away from it. And yet, what I found in the past couple of years, especially in regards to this podcast, a lot of good things frighten me and can frighten us. Dreams, a lot of my dreams, a lot of my goals can be frightening. And I think what's frightening about them is the weight of the work that will be necessary to make them a reality. I think what has been frightening about a lot of my dreams has been actually the success on the other side. I think what has been frightening has been the potential of failure on the other side. And I'll just use this podcast as an example. This idea actually came to me in 2015. And when I tell you, I felt so on fire when the idea first came to me, I felt so inspired and I knew, and I'm really grateful I'm in it now because I knew at the time that this is something I needed to do and I knew it was going to be powerful and impactful for people. I knew it. But in that time, that idea was scary. It was scary because I had never launched out in such a way in creating my own thing. You know, I'd had my YouTube channel, okay? You know, I'd blogged for a while. I've been writing, okay? But creating my own thing as large as a podcast was something I'd never done. And not just because it was a podcast, but the weight of what I wanted to do through it, telling people's stories, getting down to, you know, the depths of people, dealing with difficult conversations, all of this was half excited and half really scary. And I think that what launching this podcast taught me was how to channel my fears into excitement. And it was how to understand that just because you're afraid doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it. That's not an excuse. Actually, it's probably more so an indication that it's something that you should be doing. And perfectionism also oftentimes will be a stumbling block for you. If you're that kind of person that everything needs to be perfect, it will be a stumbling block. And you'll call it perfectionism, and it is that. But oftentimes, really what it is fear. Oftentimes, what procrastination is fear. Sometimes in those moments where I was really dulling and I was just really putting off things to do with launching this podcast, maybe it was reaching out to someone, maybe it was purchasing a mic, I had to ask myself, I had to be honest with myself and say, why are you procrastinating? And as I asked those questions, as I was honest with myself, I was able to see, because I'm afraid that when I launch this, I'm afraid that when I create something, that I'm going to have something that I'm responsible for. If I start something, then I have to finish it. If I put out something publicly, when I put out, oh, I'm going to be launching it on Sunday, that filled me with so much anxiety because I was like, I have to do this on Sunday now. I'm accountable to, you know, my followers and people that have seen this post. But that was important and it was necessary. And it's about pushing through the fear. It's about pushing through the fear to a place where, of purpose, to a place where you know you're supposed to be. And the crazy thing is, the only way to overcome fear is to run towards it. Especially when there's a big calling on your life or when there's a big purpose or a big project before you, you may never feel ready. But know that everything that you need to accomplish that thing is within you. And so on that note, I'm going to round up the podcast and I'm going to say thank you guys so much for joining me on this birthday edition. It definitely got a bit, you know, a bit passionate, a little bit emotional, but it wouldn't have been true to me if it didn't. And so I really do hope that you guys were able to take something away from it. If you do want to share any thoughts, please be sure to tweet me at Deborah Chosen, or you can find me on Instagram at Deborah Chosen also. Please, please be sure to rate the podcast, leave a comment below, let the people know that if you're feeling this, if you are feeling this, share. And until next time, please continue to trust the process and I'll speak to you guys in the next one.